Right now, we've come to the Economy of God, chapter 11, on the discerning of the spirit from the soul. I'd like to just take a few minutes to just get into this, give you a little chance to maybe overflow a little bit. So let's just read this little phrase from Hebrews 4:12. It speaks of what? Hebrews 4 speaks of the dividing
of soul and spirit.
Okay. So this is quite a profound matter. You know, today there's many believers that are ignorant of this truth, that there is a distinction between the soul and the spirit of man. And in some cases, they think it's just some kind of semantics that it's all about the same. In fact, as a person who spends a certain amount of time on the internet, I can tell you that this is one of the most sought-after topics I've noticed, at least being an internet writer, is that people are looking for answers to this matter of the soul and spirit of man. In fact, every day there's so many people that are seeking to know what is the difference between the soul and the spirit. Well, we don't need to just know, doctrinally speaking, that these are two different things.
Right.
We need to go on to actually discern the spirit from the soul practically.
Amen.
Because it's so much related to the carrying out of God's economy.
Amen.
So, first, what is God's economy? Well, let's just mention these few points here. This is just kind of a little review. We're now chapter 11 in the economy of God. So let's just consider briefly, what is God's economy? Just simply, God's economy is to dispense himself into us.
Amen. So
God's economy just has to do with God's intention to dispense himself into humanity, to work himself into our being. And what is his way, the way of God's economy? Let's read this together. B,
the way God dispenses himself into us is by the Father embodying the Son, and the Son being realized in the Spirit.
So good, we sang hymn 501 before we, during our table time. And you just see this marvelous view that God, the Christ's expression of God the Great, inexhaustible, rich and sweet, God mingled with humanity lives in us.
Amen.
God's intention is that this wonderful triune God would get into us.
Amen.
So, and how does he do this? Well, first, we see that in Colossians 2:9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
So we need to see the entire triune God, even the Father, embodied in the Son. And then the Son being realized as the Spirit. Well, and you get to John 14. It speaks of the Spirit of reality. That is the realization, the reality of the entire triune God to be brought into. And that day you'll know that I am in my Father, you are in me, I in you.
Amen.
This is the one, we enjoyed this from the conference.
Amen.
Maybe some of you might want to share that in the next session. Anyway, what is this so? This is so that now we can receive. So this is a wonderful thing. And see, it says, this all-inclusive spirit is now in our human spirit.
Amen.
This spirit who has all the ingredients of the triune God, right? All that God is, all that Christ is, has accomplished, has passed through, is now in this all-inclusive spirit. And where is this spirit? This all-inclusive spirit is now
in our human spirit.
Amen.
So, you know, Christians believe John 3:16, but you know, there's a verse that's equally important considering our experience, that is 2 Timothy 4:22. And let's just read the A part here. The Lord be with your spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so we need to realize this all-inclusive spirit who is for the carrying out of God's economy to dispense God into man is where? In your spirit.
Amen.
So if we want to get to the, I don't know if you want to call it the faucet, the fountain, but whatever, we need to come to where this spirit is.
Yes.
With our spirit.
Amen.
This is why so many Christians are dry, mixed up, confused, because they don't know where the fountain is.
Amen.
They don't know where this spirit of that's right. The all-inclusive right. Supply is. It's now in our spirit. So, D together. If we desire to enjoy Christ fully,
we must know how to discern our spirit from our soul.
And that's Hebrews 4:12 again. So that means we need to get through all the thickness of our soul. We already enjoyed this in the previous weeks with our brother sharing about the different parts of man and dealing. Like last week, as Brother Adam was sharing about digging out the well, the spring, okay? Well, if we want to get to this wonderful rich supply, we need to know to discern our spirit from our soul.
Amen.
Otherwise, you know, the Lord can be so rich, but we're just making trips all over the world in our mind, and we're just wondering and then analyzing and criticizing and just about anything else you can imagine. And we're missing out on the fountain. Okay, so what does this require us to do? The second section of this chapter was, number two, denying the soul.
Amen.
Okay, so what does this look like? This is not some form of asceticism. I'm going to now abuse myself somehow to, you know, be up myself. No, that's not what this is talking about. But let's read it. Although the Lord is in our spirit,
our spirit is very much stuck to our soul.
Okay, so this becomes a problem. Even consider Peter. When the Lord Jesus was revealing his wonderful purpose of going through redemption, going to the cross, Peter said, oh, may that not happen to you, Lord. Don't you, God have mercy on you. You shouldn't die. Well, his soul was all mixed up. And then what did the Lord Jesus say to him? He said, get behind me, Satan. So watch out. And then he said a little word in a little verse by verse 24. Let's read B and then we'll read 24.
Our soul is simply the self, and the self must be crossed out.
So 16:24b, let's read that. If anyone wants to come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Okay, so this was the Lord's word, particularly to Peter, who had just rebuked the Lord for his, thought of going to the cross, okay, to accomplish redemption for us. But he had a good intention, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was just something of the self. And so the self has to be denied. Well, how do we apply this? Come to see. The soul, let's read it together. The soul must be denied
because it covers up the spirit. To deny the soul means to turn from ourselves to the spirit.
Okay. So if by that time Peter had been regenerated, I think the Lord Jesus would have had to tell Peter, turn to your spirit. Don't wander around in your mind. Okay? We need to turn from ourselves to our spirit. A lot of times where things are going along and you see something and then your mind is already, going off there. You're trying to solve the world's problems. You're fighting every kind of battle. And basically the mind has taken over at that point, especially when you want to have time with the Lord in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? Or if you want to have a special time of prayer, so important for the Lord's move. And then what happens? There goes the self. Ready to go everywhere and do everything. Okay? But we need to turn from ourselves, what? To our spirit. And then D, then what? Then in the spirit we will meet Christ, who is now the life-giving spirit as the bountiful supply.
Amen.
Okay, so how must we practice? Let's come to three. Abiding in the spirit. So for our application, we're not just denying something negatively, but we need to abide in the spirit. We need to stay in our spirit.
Amen.
So A, this goes along with the conference. What do we need? Just remember, you are a branch in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, Peter, what are you? You're a branch. We enjoyed this actually yesterday in John chapter 15.
Yeah.
When we were seeing this, it says, what are we? We're branches. Okay, we need to realize we're a branch. So let's read. So what do branches do? 15:4a.
Abide in me and I in you.
Okay, we know a branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Mm-hmm. Well, so what do we need to do? Abide in me and I in you. Okay, be together.
We can abide in Christ only by abiding in the Spirit. To do this, we must discern our spirit.
Now let me tell you, interject at this point, one of the most helpful things for this is a living contact with the Word. In Hebrews 4:12, we didn't read the whole verse, but at the beginning of it says, the Word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit. Okay, so what do we need? We need to have this, almost like having a butcher, if you're going to do some cuts of meat, right? You need to cut away from the bone. Sometimes you have to go chopping right through the bone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need some a pretty sharp knife. Mm-hmm. And I tell you the truth, you don't think your way out of yourself.
No.
It doesn't work that way. So what do we need? We need to exercise our spirit. One of the best things, ways to exercise your spirit, is over the word. Now, sometimes a hymn will work good as well. Anyway, we got to get away from the I. He says here, I. This is the self, right? I this, I that. But, you know, when we get to the word, you know, and some of these wonderful hymns like we've been singing, you get away from the I and you get to Christ. So here he says, for example, in the morning, what do we need to do? See, to apply this word, learn to pray, especially in the morning. He mentioned the reference to the morning time. Let's declare this little prayer from some points of Brother Sicker. Lord, I praise you.